This subject on this video is not an easy subject for me to talk about, and it's a subject of fear. We are living in very fearful times. The news on every hand is full of all kinds of tragedies, terrible things, uncertainty of nations, uncertainty in the political realm, uncertainty in the financial realm, uncertainty with jobs, just all these things. And we're getting quite a bit of calls and people that are struggling horrendously with fear. In fact, we have a young man right now in counseling here that is just full of fears. So I want to pray. I'm praying that if you're a fearful person, that the things I share will be a benefit to you. And I want God's real direction and hand on this DVD because fear is hard. Father, as we move into this area that is difficult to talk about and worse to experience, Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would take control. There's so much to say, and that you've given me clarity of mind, clarity of focus. And Father, I pray for those that are watching. If they are under this dark cloud of fear, that what I say would be a benefit to them and help them. That's our greatest desire, to help those that we minister to through our websites. We're asking now that God would prepare my heart and your heart for what he has to say about fear. And Father, through all this, be glorified. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Fear, I wrote down so many things, and I want them to go smoothly and connected together. But fear is an intense emotion, and it demands response. I lived in fear for many, many years of my life. I had a fear of failure, a fear of rejection, the fear of man, you name it. I was experiencing it. And my life was often run by fear. So for you that are watching, I know how intense an emotion that fear is, especially when something triggers the very fear that I'm experiencing. When I respond to fear, not in a God's way, but just saying in a natural way, my response, I put this down as best as I know how, is to flight, run from it, or fight it. Fear also demands me to protect myself in every way I can from any and all situations that would trigger fear. I can't ignore my feelings. I don't want them, but I can't ignore them. Some response is I'll face it head on to prove that I'm not fearful. Or avoidance of everything that would cause us fear. I won't allow myself to be in a situation where fear can be triggered. If I fear people, I'll avoid them. I'll avoid crowds. If I fear failure, I struggle with tests. Listen, I was there. Every time I took a test, I knew it would prove to people that I was a failure. When I had to take a driving test, just the written part, I was so fearful that the first time I took it, I flunked it. I knew, I studied so hard, I knew, but my fear was so strong in my mind, I couldn't think of the right answers and so on. I found in my life, at all costs, I must protect myself. If you're in that situation, if you fear dark, you got to turn on lots of lights. If you fear being alone, then you're going to have to be around people. And there is sort of like two kinds of fear. I might repeat this again, but I wrote down pages of things to try to cover maybe where you are and what you're listening to. One fear can be tangible. Tangible fears are easier to deal with. I'm not saying easy, easier to deal with than intangible fears. What's a tangible fear? Well, I have a fear of water. When I was in Bible college, because I've been in the Army, they still required me to take and got out of the Army. They required me 2 years of gym. And I thought, this is ridiculous. All the physical stuff you get in the Army for 2 years, that'd account for something. But it didn't count for anything. It was a state requirement. So I was trying to work full-time. I was married and had children. So I found out that the college was renting a swimming pool downtown Los Angeles by where I was working. And they had an early class on swimming on Saturday. I thought, oh, that'll work perfectly because I can do the swimming thing and then go to work. And because I'd already before had qualified for a lifeguard, I redid it, qualified for a lifeguard. And so the coach asked me if I and another fellow would work with people that had a fear of water. And yet they wanted to face that because there was so many activities that they could not be involved in if it was going to be on the lake or the ocean. And of course, the ocean is right around Los Angeles, you know, all of that. And so we taught them to handle that fear. And there's two ways. You could push them off on the deep end and hope that they make it. Or we would start them sitting at the edge of the pool, on the edge, you know, outside of the pool, but right on the edge, would put their feet in the water. That was the first step. And so for a whole semester, we would gradually, not push, but gradually encourage them to get in the very shallow end of the pool, hold on to the side. You know, the water's above their knees, but still, that was a fearful thing, but it didn't do anything. And slowly but slowly, and at the end of the semester, we were hoping that we could get them to hold on and put their face in the water and blow bubbles. And when they did that, they were amazed. You know, how far they have progressed as they begin to face the fear. Well, those fears, if you face them gradually, are easier to deal with than when I fear fear. I'll say that again. When I fear fear. And it's not as tangible. It's more intangible. And that's more difficult to go through that. See, if I fear, we'll take I fear rejection. Now that's sort of intangible, but it's tangible. Then I may have a job that I hate, a job where my skills aren't being used, but I have fear of trying to get another job because I have to be interviewed and they may turn me down, and that would be another rejection that I couldn't handle. So I stay in a situation that is devastating to me, and yet my fear is keeping me a prisoner there. I fear confronting people, even people I care about, so I'll take physical or verbal abuse rather than confront. And the only way I can confront is to get so angry that the anger is stronger than my fear and I can confront. But the worst kind of fear is fear of fear. I just fear. I fear everything. One of the, if you read books on fear and all of that that are written, one of the things that they say, which is true, and it's true for some of the people that fear, but it will not work in other people, and that is someone who is fearful needs to face their fears. And so I try to force them to face their fears, and that will drive them deeper in their fears. I hope if you're working with fearful people, you're hearing me. Yes, a fear of water, and that's all. That is not that difficult to deal with. It's difficult for them, but it's not difficult to give direction on how they need to slowly face that. But when my fears are paralytic, and then try to force someone to face those fears, they can't handle it. You've got to trust me on that one. And you can do more damage to that person by trying to force them to face intangible fears or a series of fears. You just got to face them. We're going to push you there. We're going to make you go there and all this stuff. It's horrible. So what do I do? I find that I have to protect myself. And as I do that, we talked about it a little bit before, but to emphasize that again, avoidance of any and all situations that could possibly cause me to fear. And so now, instead of the Spirit of God running my life as a believer, fear runs my life. It can be so bad that I will totally isolate myself more and more. And this approach only causes fear to grow. Grow so strong that I can be fearful of almost everything. I don't want to answer the door. I don't want to answer the telephone. More and more, I isolate, and more that I feel very, very lonely, that no one understands, and I think that God doesn't care. If you go through the Bible and look at all the verses on fear, the scripture says probably the strongest one, there is torment in fear. If you've never been there, you don't know how much torment there is. And And especially when a person wants to begin to face some of the quote-unquote easier fears, it can be very, very terrifying. And they may want someone with them. Some of the fears that I had would not come up really in some situations, but other situations did. I said I had a fear of failure. So any kind of a test, anything where I'd be evaluated, I was so fearful about that. It just triggered this fear. I'm going to be rejected. People are going to know that I'm not smart. People will know this. They will know that. All of that kind of thing that I tried not to go. But if I necessarily had to go, I would do so poorly because my mind was so clouded with fear. Maybe I can share two things right now. I want to be sure I give them to you, because you see, God wanted me down the road to speak to large groups of people. And God revealed that to me in the beginning. I would have died. I am very nervous speaking to a small group of people. And God was very, very good to me. I love people. I love being around people, but I don't want to stand up in front of them and be evaluated by them. And it's all because of my childhood and all the rejection, all that kind of stuff. But the first church I pastored was a country church high in the mountains of California. Couldn't have been a better place. A small church that when I got there, a good Sunday, be 50 people. And, you know, at first I would be very, very tense, but 50 people is not a huge crowd. And the people were very supportive, and that really helped. Well, the church grew, and so it was easier for me to deal with people I was used to. But the worst part, because we were really an isolated community in a large valley, that if someone died, the only church was mine, and I had 55 funerals in 5.5 years at that church. It's an awful lot of funerals. And everybody would come. And I would be home, and I would be so sick to my stomach because there's all these people coming. And they're not going to like me, and they're not going to like my message, and I'm not going to be comforting. And all these things that go through my mind. My wife said, you have to go over. We lived right next to the church. In the old days, they built parsonages right next door. And I would walk in, and I would deliver my message with fear and trembling. And I felt like afterwards saying, would you move over? I want to lay down. I was so sick to my stomach. I couldn't eat because I'd throw up. That's how bad it was. You say, as a pastor, yes, as a pastor. I knew God called me to do this, but like not to all these people. And I also dreaded Christmas and Easter, because we had Christmas programs, little Easter programs, and a lot of the parents that never came to church came at those two times. And the church would be packed out. We'd have to open a little room up, you know, and maybe we'd have 120, 125, 130 people there. When the church got up to 100, it would go more and more. Well, that continued it from my first church. Even in my second church, it was pretty strong. And there were two things from the Word of God that helped me with those issues, you know, the fear of people, the fear of rejection, all of that, the two things. And there were two statements that are God says, become mine. When I became a believer, when I accepted Christ as my Savior, but I didn't claim them. They were still true. The one was that God loves me with an eternal love. I knew that in my head, and I wanted it to be true in my life experiences. And I kept praying about that, that God would help me to really not just know that, but really believe that God loved me. And the second verse that helped me tremendously was, I'm accepted in the Beloved. I am accepted in Christ. God accepted me when I was a sinner. And God, I'm not in God's performing arts. By that I mean I don't have to perform. I don't have to do everything right. And then God will accept me. And once I have that as a base, that I'm loved with an eternal love, and I'm total acceptance by God, it took the pressure off for me wanting people's acceptance so bad. The Bible describes fear, as we said, terrifying, the torment it gives. And if you start in the beginning, I just went through some verses. You'd be amazed at all the verses on fear. God says, fear not. So many verses have to do with fear not. He said, fear not, Abraham. I'm your shield. I'm your protector. Fear not, for I, God, am with thee. Fear not, the Lord is with us. Fear not, neither be afraid of them. I am with you. Fear not. Be not dismayed. I am with you. And you go on, and there are tons of verses, tons of scriptures on fear. And so as I began to pray about this, think about this, you have no idea how much mental effort I put into this. Since fear is so powerful and can be so controlling, the only hope that I can have to deal with that kind of fear is something more powerful than fear. When I focus on fear, it becomes more, it's like I feed it, and it grows, and it becomes more and more powerful in my life. The more powerful it becomes, the harder it is not to focus on all the fears that are popping up in my life, and I understand all of that. But if I need to focus on something that's more powerful than my fears, who or what might that be? And I want to share, and this was so beautiful, because here I am praying about all this stuff and asking God to direct me and to share with people that are so hurtful and so under the control of fear. God made it very clear. He says, I have not given the spirit that causes fear, but my spirit is love and power in a sound mind. The other fear is called a spirit of fear also. We can't cut that verse and say, yeah, this is the Holy Spirit, and this is just an attitude. It's not an attitude. It is a device of Satan to keep me bound. And to be bound by fear is as strong as being bound in any addiction. And maybe stronger than some addictions, really. And if you're a counselor or a pastor and you're trying to help people, realize that this is very, very strong. And it's not of God. Because when I allow a spirit of fear to overwhelm my spirit and I begin to receive all that fearful messages and so on, it's like I put on dark glasses. And everywhere I go, I'm looking through the glass of fear. But when I can move from that to the Holy Spirit, then I see things through love, power, and a sound mind. And the more fearful I am, the less sound my mind is and its choices. Now, let's get back to this issue. What is there that is more powerful than my fear? And I'm going to go very slowly through this information because I want you to get it. You know, all of our DVDs that we have can be downloaded, and I would encourage a fearful person to download this message, to listen to it over and over and over again. We talked about names in some of the devotional stuff we have. The importance of names and how names reveal the character of a person. And the names of God are tremendously significant. Not only reveals God's character, but it also reveals God's actions. Many of the names have actions with them. And the name that I want you to give is the most powerful name of God in my mind, and especially if you have fear, is the Lord of Hosts. The Lord of Hosts. It can be translated Lord Almighty or the Lord of the Armies and the Lord of Hosts. See, the title emphasizes the Lord of Hosts. In fact, literally, I like to say the Lord of Hosts is the commander-in-chief who rules the armies of heaven and has never lost a battle. The title, Lord of Hosts, emphasizes God's rule over every other power. This title emphasizes, and what God is telling us, He rules over every other power in the material and spiritual universe. I'll read that again. The Lord of Hosts emphasizes God's rule over every other power in the material and spiritual universe. When I pray to the Lord Almighty, or pray to the Lord of Hosts, you are praying to God so magnificent that all creation serves His purpose. When you pray to the Lord Almighty or the Lord of Hosts, you are praying to a God so magnificent that all creation serves His purposes. The Lord of Hosts is used 240 times in Scripture to remind us that all creation, even in its fallen condition, is under God's rule and God's reign. At times, the Scripture speaks of the Lord of Hosts leading a great army of cherubims and seraphims, using the sun and the moon, using the stars in the sky, using rivers and mountains, hail and snow, men and women and animals, wild and tame. All these worship the Lord and at times are called to fight on his behalf. Did you get that? The universe and all that's created in there, the Lord of hosts can use in his battles. There's some illustrations here, but we could not give you all of them. I'm telling you, you just read through the Bible and you see what God does. When we feel overwhelmed, remember the Lord of hosts not only rules the armies of angels and humans and the material world as well. God, here is a beautiful picture of God being in control of everything. What are some of the illustrations of God using all kinds of nature? Well, think of the children of Israel when Moses is leading them out of Egypt to get them ready. There was a plague of frogs. God used frogs, gnats, flies, hail, locusts, and darkness. God used all that. He parted the Red Sea. He uses thunders and earthquakes to vanish an army in 1 Samuel. He prevented the lions from eating Daniel. He prevented the fires in the furnace from burning up his friends. I mean, you go through scripture. This is the Lord of hosts. This is the one that is more powerful than what you fear. And you see that. When they're going to throw the fellows in the fire, they said, our God will deliver us. But if he chooses not to, that's okay with us. They have so much faith in the Lord of hosts. And you see that all the way down. Even the secular king said, Daniel, don't worry when we put you in with the lions. Your God will protect you. If God can shut the mouths of lions, he can shut the mouths of people also. Though you and I are weak and limited, we are not to defend ourselves because we belong to the God of unimaginable, unfathomable power. Psalms 18 is just full of it. God is my high tower. God is my shield. God is my protector. God is my wall. God is my fortress. You look in scripture at all the descriptions of what God is. See, when I fear, my focus goes off of God. I need to get refocused on God. He is more powerful than what I fear. And I found that out through the ages. I had no idea of what God was going to do with me once I got on the other side of controlling fear. It was not easy, but it was a journey, a bit at a time, as I began to take a scripture and it became real in my life. I could stand on that and that fear no longer worked. See, if what I fear paralyzes me, it is working. And the scripture says there's an enemy behind that fear. I don't want my life any longer to be run by fear. And it's hard, I know, for some of you to believe that that fear can be dealt with. It can be. Biblically. There is a wonderful prayer that was in the Names of God Bible, where all of this I read is there and more. That is, I want to give credit, that is this Bible that goes through scripture, and every time a new name is given for God, they take two pages to explain it. And they also, in the Lord Almighty, they put a prayer. Now, I'm going to read this prayer twice and slowly. You can watch this over and make this your own prayer. Lord of hosts, Lord Almighty, please calm my fears and anxiety. You know everything that is going on in my life right now. Please stretch out your hand to save me. Help me to rest in the knowledge that you are with me, even in the most frightening of circumstances. That is a very beautiful prayer. I'll read it again in a minute. But David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's pretty dark, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. And not only with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. That's interesting. David says, though I'm going through some very dark times, and he did. I mean, he had his own family scheming to kill him. That's a pretty dark time. And he even slept during that time. He said, Lord, I lay down to sleep because you're the only one that caused me to be safe. I can stay up, I can keep my eyes open, but that's not going to keep me safe. But I'm trusting you to keep me safe. So I'll lay down and go to sleep in the midst of all these horrible circumstances. Fearful circumstances. Let me read that prayer to you again. Lord of hosts, Lord Almighty, please calm my fears and anxiety. Remember when the disciples were in the boat and the waves were coming and breaking into the boat? Listen, these fellows made their living in a boat. It was a fearful situation. And when a sailor says, this is a fearful situation, you can believe him. And Jesus stood up and he calmed the storms and said, peace be still. In fact, he rebuked the storms and said, peace be still. That's interesting. The reason it's interesting because you read in the Gospels, whenever Jesus rebuked, it was a spirit. He rebuked spirits. So there were two things. He rebuked the spirit behind the storm, and then he said, peace be still. So Lord of hosts, Lord Almighty, please calm my fears and anxiety. You know everything. You know everything that's going on in my life right now, right at this moment. Please stretch out your hand to save me. Remember, Peter was going down. He said, Lord, save me. And he stretched out his hand and Jesus grabbed a hold of it. Help me to rest in the knowledge that you are with me. Even in the most frightening of circumstances. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. These are promises in Scripture you want to get a hold of. Psalms 84:120. We're going to look at some scriptures now that may help you. But Psalms 84:120. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the person who trusts in you. What's the name for God there? Lord of hosts, blessed is a person who will trust in the sovereign power of God. See, my focus needs to be on the Lord of hosts who has never lost a battle. That's where my focus needs to be. See, I want to share some verses that I put down. These are verses that I think are wonderful. Although some of them, the word fear may not be there, but it's certainly talking about it. Write these down. Write these fears out. Put them on a card and begin to memorize these verses so that when I fear, I go to the verses rather than let that fear grow and just really wipe me out. Jesus said, "Fear not," Isaiah 41:10. "Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I'll uphold you with my victorious right hand." Wonderful verse. Isaiah 26:3. You may have got a hold of this already. "Thou will keep him." The word "keep" there is guard. God will guard him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. You say, "Man, I've never experienced that." But he wants to keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on God. Okay? The word "mind" there is an interesting word. It's imagination. When I am fearing, my imagination is going wild. And the word "stayed" is fixed or glued on God because he trusts in God. He trusts in thee. See, God will guard me in his perfect peace because my imagination is fixed on him, because I'm trusting in thee. I'm not trusting in myself. I'm not trusting in my protection. It never works. I'm trusting you to be my protection. See, remember we talked about David going through those very, very dark times. The shadow of death. And he will fear no evil, not only because God is with him, but these two pieces of wood gave David comfort. The rod was used to guide the sheep, and the rod was used to beat off the predators, the wolves or whatever may attack the sheep. David says, "Even in the darkness, I can trust you because you have total control. You will guide me through this dark tunnel, and you will protect me." Remember that. Beautiful. Comforted David, and it can also comfort you. And we looked at Psalm 3:8. "I will both lay down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only maketh me to dwell in safety." When I was little and I had a lot of fears, I pulled the covers over my head. How much protection is there in a blanket over your head? But I can lay down in peace and sleep and not put a blanket over me, because the Lord is the only one who can make me dwell in safety. Psalm 9:9-10. "The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in a time of trouble." And here comes the verse I love. "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek you." Getting to know God by name. And we have put that on so many videos and DVDs and all this stuff. But knowing God by name is very, very important. And you can go back and look at one of the devotions on the importance of knowing God by name. Here's another one. I love this. Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. When I am aware of the presence of God, it gives me stability. I can tell you that, beloved. I told you I was coming a long ways with my fear of people. And I was at Knoxville, speaking at a conference of 15,000 people. And the platform is very high. There's a choir of 5,000 teenagers. The platform has an orchestra of over 100 teenagers. We're talking about huge, big, and lots of people. And as I begin, the stairs went up on the platform. You go up so many stairs, and then so many more. Finally, you get up, and that part's kind of dark while the speaker's introducing you. And then when he looks your direction, you walk across this mammoth stage to where he is in the pulpit. Now, the director of this ministry is short, and I'm tall. And I knew if I put my notes down on that pulpit, and it is dark in there, and you have light shining in your eyes, if you get lost, you can't find where you are in your notes. And all of a sudden, I begin to fear. Unbelievable fear. I'm going to fail. I'm not going to do well, and I'm going to lose my place, and I won't remember. And boy, my mind started getting all cloudy. What am I going to speak on? It was crazy. But the fear began to entrench itself in me. And I said, oh, Lord, I prayed out to him in my heart. I didn't dare pray out loud. People would hear it because I was mic'd up already. Lord, I'm all concerned about me. Lord, I'm all concerned about my reputation. Oh, God, forgive me. Lord, I want to glorify you. That's my purpose as a believer, as a child of God. Father, whatever happens out there, whether I lose my place or don't lose my place or whatever, God, let what I say give honor and glory to you. And may people see Jesus behind the pulpit, not me. And when I walked across that platform, I had perfect peace. Because it was not all about me. It was all about the one that I was representing to these people. See, I have set the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. That was Psalm 16:8. Psalm 32:7. Oh, I love this. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt cup me about with songs of deliverance. What time is it right now? Oh, you can look at your watch and say, oh, here it's 9:15. Okay, that's not the time I'm talking about. I love this. This is one of my favorites. Psalm 56:3. It says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. See, what does that mean? What time I am afraid, that's the time I'm going to cry out to the Lord of hosts. You know? Psalms 84:12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man, the woman, or child who trusts in you. My focus in life and life situations needs to be on the Lord of hosts, who can use the angelic world, use the spirit world, and use the physical world in his battle, and he has never, ever lost a battle. Will you trust him? Let me give you those good verses again. These are good ammunitions when the enemy came and spoke to the Lord Jesus Christ. He used biblical truth against the enemy. I'll give you the references. Isaiah 41:10, fear not. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Psalms 3:8, I will lay down and sleep in peace. Psalms 9:9-10, the Lord is a refuge. And they that know thy name will put their trust in you, and so on. Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me. He's on my right hand, and I shall not be moved by fear. Psalm 32:7, you are my hiding place. What time is it? Psalm 56:3, if you're afraid, that's the time that I will trust in thee, the Lord of hosts, who has never lost a battle. Father, I want to pray that prayer again for those that are watching. O Lord of hosts, Lord Almighty, please calm their fears and anxiety. You know everything that is going on in their life right now. Lord, stretch out your hand to save them. Help them to rest in the knowledge that you are with them, even in the most frightening circumstances. We ask this in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for hearing and answering our prayers. Amen.